Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 18th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Thanks again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I've got him corralled in the corner, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios watching a little Muay Thai.
Heck yeah, we are.
Before starting this recording,
I watched a guy in a squeaky chair.
Watched Petch fight some guy from Portugal.
That was on Glory when we got. Now we're actually watching the Thai fight leagues.
Yeah, and I just learned of a new brand of drills called Pumpkin, and I guess that's a Thai company. Never even heard of it before. So you learn new things every day.
You learn not to mess with those Thais.
How was your trip to Colorado?
It was good times. The only downfall was we had no snow. It was all down here.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Every bit of it was down here. We didn't even get a flurry while we were there in town. It was awful.
Well, but it made driving in and out easy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it did do that. Everything was good. There was an accident on 40 while we were there. We got hung up on it. Looked like a Kirkland truck, I think, laid down on its side. I don't know if something had happened before and all that, but we were hung up waiting and all that. I don't know if anyone was hurt, but the Kirkland truck was definitely not in a good way.
Yeah, but it was nice to get out of town, though, right?
It was good.
Change of scenery.
It was good times to get up there and hang out. I love the beautiful parts of Colorado up there. It's great. Santa Fe is awesome. The whole thing, it's just fun. It's fun. I did learn this about myself. I truly enjoy stopping at the little hole-in-the-wall truck stops and little trinket shops. Just, I don't buy anything.
I just enjoy going in there.
I love going in there.
You know what it's like to me when you go through the panhandle and stuff in Texas and out
going
there?
Going back in time?
It's like going back in
time.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's like it still feels like the 90s out there.
Yeah.
All it is little cafes with like ranchers drinking coffee in the morning, and there ain't much to do. They all meet up there, and then I guess they spend the rest of their day
ranching,
punching cows,
just ranching,
mending fences and stuff. But they're always there in the morning, right? They're always there in the mornings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know where the good spot is. Just look for where all the pickup trucks are.
You go by it at breakfast early in the morning. If there's a bunch of cars, go back and eat. Same thing at lunch. You go by the cafes. You just find out whichever one's packed, and that's where you go.
Yeah, it's always good.
I love it out there.
I do, too. It's fun.
Because it slows down. And what's crazy to me is how much it speeds up as you get close to big cities, right? Like we always talk about. It feels like life gets super, super hectic, and you just start kind of slipping out a little further. Just get a little further out. It's like there's some sort of invisible wall that once you get on the other side of it, everything kind of slows down.
Lots of good hunting out there, too.
There is a lot of good hunting out there. And speaking of craziness that needs to slow down, I've got something here for you, Brad.
All right.
So, of course, Lon always hooks us up on this and takes care of us. Listen to this. We love sharing stories with him, so he shared this. Shimmering humanoids.
Oh, like a glimmer man.
Like a glimmer man. They're communicating in South Texas Mobile Home Park.
Okay. Tell me more.
I will hook you up with this. Says that I remember starting to panic and then all of a sudden feeling calm. And the first being told me without words that they would soon be done. Yeah, get a load of this. Says, I've recently read one of your older books, Phantoms and Monsters, Strange Encounters. Like I said, he sent this into Lon. It says, for quite some time, I have searched through many different websites, books and magazines, even television shows, for an encounter similar to the one I experienced as a small child growing up in South Texas, in Mission, Texas, puts in here. So he's talking about reading a post from Lon's called Actuality of Invisible Alien Beings. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Says it really excited me and upset me. I was excited because someone else had experienced something similar to what I had, and upset because it made it more real. When I was approximately 7 years old, which would be around 1974, we were living in a mobile home park in Mission, Texas. We just moved to this mobile home park as my parents had just sold the property that we'd lived on. The park was huge, probably 20 to 30 acres, and it had just opened. Now, there were only two or three other homes, and the whole park spaced far apart. The park was surrounded by orange groves, so it was relatively isolated. I believe it was called the Trade Winds Mobile Home Park. I don't know if it's still there, as I haven't been back to Mission since I left in 1991. One morning, early, before sunrise, I woke up to the noise outside my bedroom window. Now, I don't recall clearly what that noise was, but it was enough to rouse my curiosity. So I figured it was probably coyotes. I was quite curious to catch a glimpse. I had to stand on my bed to look out of my window. So I was scanning the yard below, but didn't see any coyotes. I then noticed a motion to my left, and I turned to see a figure standing next to my mother's car. It was an outline of a large being. It had to be huge, as it was several feet taller than the car. I would guess maybe 6.5 to 7.5 feet. The figure was big and bulky, the shoulders very wide and the legs very thick, but all clearly humanoid shaped. The inside of this outline was very dark and shimmering, like light couldn't escape. The best way I can describe it, but the outline was clearly visible. It turned towards me, and we just stood there looking at each other for several seconds. I don't know how I knew it could see me, but I did. At this point, I did not feel any fear. I was just stunned, trying to understand what I was seeing. It then slowly turned and walked off into the darkness. At this point, I jumped from my bed and I ran to my parents' room. I woke up my mother and tried to tell her what I had seen, but she insisted, of course, it was just a bad dream. I knew it wasn't. She got up and continued to get ready for work, tried to laugh it off, but I kept insisting that I did not want her to go outside because the big invisible man would get her, and I was afraid. At that point, she didn't want to hear about it anymore. I think I was somewhat in shock and traumatized by the experience, so I said nothing else. However, several days later, there was a small article in our local paper, The Monitor, about a local woman who had seen the exact thing I saw, only she reported it to the police. Well, as I read the article, it made the woman out to be a crazy lunatic. My mother read this article to me, and we both just sat there stunned. She then questioned me about it again and told me not to tell anyone. I suppose she didn't want to expose me to ridicule, and to this day, she refuses to talk about the ordeal. What's even scarier is that sometime after this incident, I began to recall more and more of the events that happened before I heard the noise outside. I remember laying in my bed unable to move. This was a shining a light in my eyes and telling me that they would be gone shortly. No words were exchanged, though. I remember feeling like I was wrapped in thick jello. I could see another being in my room looking through my dresser drawers. For what, I have no idea. The being was shining a flashlight-looking device into my drawers. Only the light, which was greenish, was coming out of the drawers, not going into the dresser drawers themselves. But the light moved around the being and moved the flashlight. So it's wheeling around. He's controlling it with his hands. Says, I remember starting to panic and then all of a sudden feeling calm. The first being again told me without words that they would soon be done and that I would not remember anything and that it would be okay. The next thing I remember is waking up to stand on my bed and look out the window. I have no idea what they were looking for or why. Perhaps I found something and they wanted it back. I don't know and probably never will. I've never told this story to anyone other than my mother, and I've not even told my partner of 18 years this story, M.
Huh.
So, sounds like a glimmer man is what they saw.
Yeah.
Right? The first time, but then had all this recollection of an alien abduction story.
Yeah, something like, sounds more like alien abduction. Some to me, you know what I mean? The things in the room, the orbs, the wands, the lights, they're looking for something. I don't know.
I don't know. It's wild. It's wild to think that what if Glimmer Man are aliens? Like when you I don't know if this is fact, but like when, you know, when people have seen them, I wonder if those people have been abducted.
Yeah. And that's one of the theories is Glimmer Man is just like in the movie, The Predator. It's an alien that's how it camouflages itself.
I don't like that.
I don't either. Check this out. It says, recently I heard on one of your episodes where a woman called in and told a story about receiving a phone call from her dead grandmother. Cam, I think this was an episode while you were in Colorado. A woman named Catherine called in. Anyways, when I heard her tell her story, I felt compelled to tell you that she's not the only one who has received a phone call from a deceased person. It happened to me, too. About a dozen years ago, I was working as a 911 dispatcher in Cabell County, West Virginia. I received a call from an elderly lady who was having trouble breathing. I had taken several calls from her and her husband in the past, so I recognized her voice. I dispatched an ambulance to her residence and held her on the line trying to keep her calm while the ambulance was responding. Now, the ambulance advised that they had about a 15-minute ETA. She lived in a very rural area. Now, I'm talking to her, asking about her husband and how she's doing and just making small talk with her. The ambulance called in and advised that they were on scene, and I let them know that she was in severe respiratory distress and that I still had her on the line. I let her know that the ambulance was coming to the door and that she needed to answer the door, and she said, okay, and hung up the phone. Pretty normal, right? Well, here's where it gets weird. The EMT and the paramedic on scene called back a few minutes later and advised that no one's answering the door. We have a sheriff's unit who was in the area, and they were pulling on the scene about the same time. Now, the sheriff's unit confirmed the address and advised that he was going to breach the door to gain access to the patient. 5 or 10 minutes goes by, and the paramedic on scene radios is asking who the caller was. I advise that there was an elderly female who lived at the residence. He tells me that he's going to call in and needs to speak with the supervisor on shift. We get him over to the supervisor, and the supervisor confirms the information that I gave him and asks, you know, what's going on? Now, apparently, the elderly female had been dead for a while and was already in full rigor mortis. They thought I was wrong about the caller, but the other dispatchers played it back and confirmed that the female who called was her, and the ambulance was transferred to the hospital, and we got the same calls and disbelief from the doctors. So, I guess I talked to a ghost. S. Crazy, right?
Wow.
She was on the phone with the lady.
Yes.
It was like, okay, the ambulance just pulled up. Go let them in. Their ambulance and those EMTs are beating on the door. No one's coming. 15 minutes later, they break the door down. That lady's been dead for a while.
That's so wild.
So what is that?
How would you...
The phantom phone call phenomenon. Yeah. We talk about it.
Yeah.
It's eerie but interesting. Because I wonder how it works. You get these cases where someone will get a phone call from like their mother or their father, and they'll just have like a short kind of conversation with them. They'll tell them that they love them. They get off the phone, and then turns out they died 2 hours previous to that phone call.
Yeah.
Weird. There've even been cases of people leaving it voicemail from a deceased person. The people save the voicemail, and then they go back to re-listen it a couple times because they want to reminisce, and there's nothing but static. And they're like, no, dude, I listened to it a couple times. I swear, 3 months ago, it was on here.
Right. It's
crazy.
It is. It's very, very, it opens up so many more questions.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's what I hate about it. Listen to this. This is something I think you're going to enjoy it for the topic that it's about. Outside of that, probably not, but it says, hey, my boyfriend told me a story of a gnome man that he and his friend saw. He was walking with his four friends. One of them was a girl. The rest were guys. So the five of them are out in the Kentucky woods and just chilling in a small patch area in Newport near Marydale. They sit down and all of a sudden feel this change in the air. And the girl just says, there's something around us, but it's weak. They all look over at her and then boom, this gnome manifests and he looks upset. She looks over and he points at her and snaps his fingers. She instantly passes out. The guys grab her and tried to drag her out of the woods, and she didn't come fully to until they were out on the street. All he did was snap his fingers at her. I think the vibe was that he was upset and she called him weak. That's rude anyway. I definitely don't feel the energy and randomly insult them. I always respect nature spirits, as that is their domain. My boyfriend and his other friends are like me too, nature freaks that leave offerings in their favorite spot. The girl never stuck around after that, and I don't blame her. But I guess there are mean gnomes in Kentucky.
Well, they're known to be
hateful,
pesky. Let's just say that.
Right? I just wonder this.
Ill-tempered.
What if you, maybe they were sitting around in like a big granite rock area or whatnot.
Right? Oh, and like a face circle or something? Yeah, it's possible, right?
You know what I mean? You who knows? Because we already know that there's these theories about being able to travel through the granite, that it's like a veil, kind of like water, right? And that's where when people get lost in the mountains, that's a possibility of where they've gone.
Right.
It's like through some kind of portal, maybe in the granite. So who knows? Maybe that's what it is. That's part of the Fae world that people stumble over. That's their doorways. Well, maybe he was in there just hanging out and she didn't like, he didn't like that comment. So he's like, I'll show you. Cast sleep on her.
Yeah, by calling it something weak's in the area, right? That's a weird comment in itself.
Now, they'd say that a lot when I show up.
Right? Be mindful when you're walking around the woods, though. You know, look for signs. You might see, if you see stacks of rocks or something that looks like a face circle, maybe just avoid it. Or if anything, maybe offer them something. Like if you got a little bit of Copenhagen with you, put you a pinch out for them.
Put a Zen in, slap that down there for your gnome.
Listen, sounds funny as it sounds. They say that they like tobacco. They like offerings of alcohol. Anything they can smoke, you know, little bits of grapes.
Damn, I must be a gnome.
Well, you definitely look like one. If anybody knows what Cam looks like, he looks exactly like a garden gnome.
Like a gnome.
Built like one too.
Yeah, I'm like
no neck.
Yukon Cornelius.
That's exactly what he looks like. Exactly. Well, let's take a break. When we get back from the break, we're gonna get in some more crazy stories. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Ka-chow.
You know, like, if you listen to the show long enough, you know that I'm not a big water cryptid fan for whatever. And I think it's...
I was supposed to say, wait. You are a big water fan, but I'm trying, you throw in cryptid.
I'm trying to be more open-minded. I'm trying, because we've been doing the show for over a decade, I want to start looking at more water cryptids.
Hey.
And I think the reason I don't like them as much as the others is because the water's already kind of scary already. You know what I mean?
Did this come about after doing the show to where you were like, this, some of this is just too ridiculous?
I don't know where it come from. Just
do you think, have you thought about this like this whole time? Like when we were in school, because there was a lot of crazy cryptid books that we were in our library.
Yeah, right.
Did you not care then about
water? I didn't care then. For whatever reason, Bigfoot held my attention, and probably because I'm in the woods all the time. And then like UFOs and alien abduction. Those were the things that I was drawn to originally.
But not lake monsters and stuff like that.
Other than the Loch Ness Monster, I wasn't really aware of that many.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But
over the years, I mean, I've gone down all these rabbit holes of so many crazy sightings that I've just always pushed them off. But I'm going to start looking at them more closely. And I got a story here. This is pretty interesting. It here involves a lake monster.
Next week's episode is going to be us covering lake monsters.
It could be. I'm not going to promise next week, but I think it's coming in the future. First of all, when you do find one, there's like the sad part is there's not really much on it. Like if you like, oh, what is this? What's Pele or what's, you know, what was the one in, I'm trying to think, in the Mississippi River? Pepe or something like that. But when you look into it, it's usually like one paragraph. Oh, it's a monster that's said to be seen in this river.
Somebody saw it. Yeah, some giant turtle in the river, and it was happened twice, and it was in 1878 or something.
Yeah, somebody saw a
1901.
Five foot tall otter or something.
And I'm not saying that they didn't, but there's only like two little articles from two different papers, and that's usually about all you got.
Yeah. Well, check this out. This person says, in a small, unassuming city nestled deep in northern Ontario, Canada, the shadows of the past and the secrets of the present seem to linger in the air. Now, I grew up there, and I always felt like there was something wrong. The town felt alive in a way it shouldn't, like an unseen force watched over you while you were there. It always seems dark and shadowy, and there's nestled in the middle of a bunch of towering pines. And by the time I was 7... I was convinced that this place was haunted, telling anyone who would listen about the strangeness that seemed to weave its way through the town. And over the years, I've seen enough to know that I wasn't entirely wrong. My grandmother lives in Waterloo, which is not far away, and she still owns an old house by one of the city's twin lakes. Now, this is a vast expanse of dark water known as Trout Lake. Its depth is about 69 meters. It always seemed to whisper secrets, a yawning void of cold, and there's brown waters that are cloaked in mystery. Now, my father, when I was a kid, would speak of a creature known as the Trout Lake Monster, which is said to be a shadowy creature that's just merely folklore, but it's passed down through father to son, and this is what happened in my case. The first sightings of this elusive beast supposedly date back to the 1920s and the 1930s. Unlike the celebrated monsters of other lakes, this one slithered its way into obscurity, only known to those willing to believe. Now, one summer, during a visit to my grandmother's house, my sister and I wandered on the lake's edge. Now, we always did this, and we spent the afternoon skipping rocks and seeing who could reach the offshore drop-off. But then, I just happened to glance across the water, and something broke the surface. A yellow, beak-like shape rising, then vanishing beneath the ripples as though it was never there. It was distant, perhaps 200 feet away, but it was unmistakable. My heart raced as I told my family. They didn't believe me, of course. I was only 8 and prone to fanciful stories, they said. My sister, oblivious to my discovery, she hadn't seen it. And from that day forward, the lake no longer felt safe to me. I no longer wanted to go swimming. That wasn't my last encounter. Later that year, my father and I drove along an old, seldom-used road overlooking the lake. The road, leading to a forgotten army base, offered a view of the waters from above, framed by gaps in the dense trees. We stopped to take in the sight. My father was reminiscing about the base's eerie history. But then, we saw it. A massive shadow, moving beneath the water's surface. It snaked through the depths, a slow, deliberate motion that sent chills down my spine. I asked my father excitedly if he saw it too, and he nodded. His face was pale. It moved towards the shore, where swimmers played blissfully, unaware. We left quickly, unease heavy in the car. Now I try to rationalize it. Was it a cloud's shadow? Perhaps, but the memory doesn't sit right. Years passed, but my curiosity only grew. One cold March, as ice clung stubbornly to the lake, I was perched by the window of my grandmother's house, this time with a pair of binoculars in hand. I scanned the lake obsessively, searching for answers. And then I saw it. Something alive broke through the melting ice. Its head, green, eel-like, with strange, fleshy lips, rose above the water. A ridged fin trailed behind on its back, low and rounded. I screamed, calling my family to look, but by the time my aunt took the binoculars from me, the creature had vanished, slipping behind the trees like a phantom. They dismissed it as, oh, you probably just saw a beaver. But no beaver could explain what I saw. The lake seemed to pulse with life, but not in the way like lakes should. Even in 2021, long after I'd stopped expecting answers, the water refused to let me forget. My father and I were driving to check on my grandmother's house when I noticed something odd far out on the water. A patch of turbulence, a circle of bubbling chaos that looked like the lake itself was boiling. I fumbled for my phone, but the distance and the motion of the car reduced the video to a meaningless blur. Was it fish feeding? Perhaps, but the unease in my chest told a different story. And then there's the boat accident. In the 1950s, a couple and their dog vanished on the lake. Their fiberglass boat was found, but they weren't. For decades, whispers spread and blaming the lake's monster for their disappearance. Their remains were discovered decades later, yet even now the story persists. I no longer throw rocks in the Trout Lake. The water feels too alive for me. Its mysteries too heavy. And although I've tried to explain away the shadows and the shapes I've seen, some part of me wonders how many secrets still lie waiting in its cold, dark depths. Joy. Crazy, right? So up in Ontario, Canada. Now, Canada is famous for several water cryptids.
Oh, yeah.
But the Trout Lake Monster, I was not familiar with this. I tried to look into some other sightings of the Trout Lake Monster. There have been a few. I saw some photographs. Apparently something strange washed up. You ever see those photographs? That happens quite a bit too.
Yeah.
Some bizarre looking creature washes up. Stuff like that. But no actual footage, no actual pictures or snapshots of the monster. But in the sightings, it's reported eel-like, but impossibly large, right? Like huge. With like a fin.
And we get a bunch of those from different areas of different lake monsters. A lot of them sound a lot alike.
Yeah. I don't know. But for whatever reason, it's a similar description.
They're I enjoy them, right? That we make, like we always make light of them and the whole deal, but whatnot. But it is fun because you do wonder. I guess what it is you think of a lake, you're like, we know everything that's in that lake.
Right. But you don't.
And there's enough people on it that have seen and all that. I tell you what it always makes me think about, and it's getting to be more and more so. Is water truly like a doorway?
It's
possible. In some form, is that a doorway? And, you know, they've used it in movies like crazy to where the water's like some sort of portal that you could rock and roll through, or, you know, to where it's just you travel through all of it. I just wonder if, like, maybe the lakes, like maybe they have, like you had talked about, they have memory. Maybe that's what that water is, or is it's carrying the memory of all the times it's fallen on this planet back and forth. Or maybe it is just some kind of crazy portal. And we really are seeing some kind of fish
from
from like an alternate universe.
Yeah. I think it depends. With me, it depends on how the size of the lake, right? So, like you say, Lake Weatherford, I'm not scared of anything in there. But then when you say like the Great Lakes, Lake Superior or something like that, I mean, these are
don't count.
These are like seas, right? There could be stuff in there you don't even know.
Just saying it freaks me out.
And especially the ocean. That's why I think I have such a indifference when it comes to water cryptids, is because there truly is water cryptids. What I mean is, every once in a while you'll see like a photograph from a drilling well and it's like some obscure crab no one's ever seen before, and you're like, dude, that thing looks alien like
yeah,
that's a monster.
Yeah,
right? If you saw that, you'd be like, that's a monster, even though you know it's a crab.
100%.
And how vast the ocean is, there's got to be things down there.
Bro, you're preaching to the choir now. I'm listening. Preach it.
Right?
Preach it.
Alien-like. Every time you watch something very deep, they don't know nothing about what's down there, other than we know that extraterrestrials are living down there.
That's right. That's right. That's what's down there.
So the water itself is already scary.
True.
You know?
True. Very, very true. I've got you something here that's probably scary.
Okay. No,
we're going to see what you think. I'm going to run this past you here, see what you think. It says, so... this is a story my mother has told me. These sightings came from Michigan, northwest of Flint, south of Saginaw. The story goes that my parents were driving at night on All Hallows Eve in 1976, when suddenly a large, slender, lanky, feline animal crossed the street, making them slam on the brakes. When this thing turned its head to look at them, my parents were horrified to see that it had a human face.
Like this, a Jimmikin?
Yeah, this happened the following year on the same road and the same day, All Hallows Eve. I don't have many more details. My mother was raised in a family from North Michigan where strange things would happen in the forest, but no one wanted to talk about it. They believed if you didn't give it any attention to this creature or any of this, it could not gain power or something along those lines. So anytime she would start to bring this up, my father or another family member would shut her down. I'm the curious type. I like to have facts and knowledge. Have you heard of anything like this before, either in Native American mythology or know of things happening in that area? Please let me know. I have found two possibilities of what this could be from others I've talked to. A wampus cat or a sidey cat. Wampus would be more likely because it includes in folklore in this area. However, the physical description that was given to me when I asked for more details reminds me a lot of this sidey cat found in the Celtic and Scottish mythology and folklore. It's said that it's a witch that can transform into a cat 9 times. If they transform into a cat for the 9th time, they remain in cat form. This is possibly where cats have 9 lives come from. I don't really believe in a lot of this. However, there must be some unknown creatures that made people create these stories.
That is crazy.
A Jimmikin.
That's what it sounds like, but I've never seen it in the cat form.
In cat form, yeah.
Was it a dog form, or the guy saw that in a marketplace in China long ago? Because that's where the story of the Jimmikin comes from, right?
I believe so.
It's some trader, we're talking in like 1849,
claims to have seen this.
Was in a Chinese market about long ago, and he saw a Jimmikin, which was like a dog, but it had a human face on it. Not that the hair was the colors of a human face. It had a human face.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't. But
I would just panic and run out of the shop.
It's kind of like when the guy on the Gremlins bought the Mogwai from that shopkeeper, right? That's what I think. I like to think of an old Chinese market where they have just exotic animals.
I like the Tibetan markets up in the mountains.
Yeah.
You travel up. The whole idea. It's because you like the crazy ideas of adventures like freaking Indiana Jones, man.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Right.
That's what kind of core memories stuck with you as being an adventurer.
And I like all the experiments. Like, there was that Russian scientist who were, like, cutting the head off a dog. And
listen, y'all, he said, look, he likes all those kind of experiments. That's what kind of person we're dealing with.
He cut the heads off of dogs and put it on another dog. You remember that? So I always like to think that there's somewhere somebody did a transplant, like, not the human centipede, but they made a Jimmykin in the lab. You could go in there and feed it. I just like the idea.
So unsettling.
That,
right?
It's crazy. Unsettling. Speaking of unsettling.
Yeah.
Check this out. It says, when I was a child in a small Mississippi town, I was about 10 years old. I was sitting on the front porch of my grandmother's house. I don't remember it being cold, and I don't remember exactly what time of year it was, but I do know that it was about 9 p.m. when I noticed some movement to my left above the streetlights. This thing was moving through the air around 75 yards away. It was white and seemed to glow. There appeared to be a body with wings, but no apparent head. I mean, you could not visibly see a face or eyes, but just a body and wings. It did appear to have wings. I would have thought it was an owl, except it was way too large and seemed to be glowing from within. It glided until it got almost directly in front of me, around 30 yards away. That's when it shot straight up and out of sight. It was white and seemed to glow. There appeared to be a body with wings, but no apparent head. It was crazy. I have no idea what I saw. It glided until it got directly in front of me and then disappeared. And to this day, I don't know if it was a fairy that I saw, an angel, or something else. What do you guys think? So, again, we've heard of these flying humanoids at night glowing. We've seen orbs transform into fairies. We've heard of fairies transforming into orbs. We heard of a white owl that transformed into a pale crawler last episode.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I don't know what you saw.
That description of it not really having a head.
Yeah.
We've had those descriptions too, to where they actually accept, and some we've had where they see the red eyes in the little area where the head, not where it should be, but it's like down in its chest.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, it's where it's almost moth-like, which is what, when you were describing it, it sounds almost exactly like a true Mothman description when they described them without having heads.
That's crazy.
It's pretty wild.
Here's another crazy one. So it says, so when I was 7 or 6, I remember people talking a lot about Bigfoot, and I was never scared of Bigfoot, and I didn't think much of it, but I knew about him. And I didn't necessarily believe or anything in cryptids. Heck, I didn't even know what they were. I just have heard of Bigfoot. So this one time I ended up going camping with my family, and we brought a car and a trailer with us so we could sleep in the trailer overnight. We brought food and snacks, and I remember being by the campfire with my family, and I was just getting this feeling the whole time like I was being watched. And you know how it is when you're in the dark and you're in the woods and you are by the campfire. It tends to feel eerie. Plus, I was only 6 or 7 at the time. So when you're that age, you know how you imagine things. And so I was trying to ignore it, but I couldn't help feel like I was being watched. I didn't say anything to my family because I didn't want to seem like the scaredy cat, as they didn't seem to notice anything. I just went to the trailer and went to bed for the night, and everything was fine until the next morning. The next morning, we woke up to find a handprint on the back of our dusty car, the one that had the snacks inside of it. But the handprint was huge. My family has always been very serious type and non-believers. We took pictures of it because we were so spooked out about it that we wanted to make sure we had a picture. Sadly, I don't think we have the picture anymore. It was on an old flip phone, and we lost it somewhere. But eventually, once we got home, we found out that the same campsite was at the place of many different Bigfoot sightings that have been reported throughout the past, and so I've been interested to learn what is out there. So to this day, although my parents never felt like they were being watched, after the handprint, I told them that I did, and they believed me, And so ever since that day, I've been keeping up with that particular area of the forest, and there's been a lot of sightings. So although I did not see Bigfoot, I saw the evidence left by Bigfoot. So I am a believer. So we hear about this a lot. Mm-hmm. What I mean is people don't necessarily see it, but something happens where they're convinced that something was there. Is it a physical thing? We always talk about this. Is it the ghost of a Bigfoot that left the handprint? Is it an interdimensional being? Is it an extraterrestrial? Who knows? But, you know, your senses are pretty good. And sometimes, of course, you've felt this before yourself, is you feel like something's watching you. And then later there's a handprint found. I mean, kind of goes hand in hand. But you don't really know that it was a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I felt the presence of being watched before, but sometimes I think
that was the police.
It could be the police. It could be the ATF. Hopefully Trump does away with that soon. Or it could be like a mountain lion. Like perhaps a mountain lion was watching me. And I'm so dumb, I didn't even realize it.
I think about that a lot in the woods.
I'm sure it happens.
Of like a bobcat or like a mountain lion. I think about that a lot. You know, whenever you get that feeling, is instantly you start looking around. Because I've wondered this. Like, okay, it would still be like, you don't want to get attacked by a bobcat, right? Like you don't want that smoke. Same as a mountain lion. You don't want any of that, right? At all. But also, like, I don't want to be attacked by a skunk, right? Like, I don't want any of that. If a skunk is staring at me and I don't see it, do I get that same feeling of danger? Does it only come from a true threat?
I don't know.
Because if you don't know, you're not conscious of the danger, hence the reason your spidey senses start tingling.
Right, right.
Is the old school, like, caveman brains trying to save your life. Like a rattlesnake, right? A rattlesnake is bad news. If it's not rattling, but it's kind of looking at you, maybe you're not close, do you get the same feeling that you would get if it, you know, that's what I don't know. So that's when I get that feeling, I'm looking for everything.
And it doesn't happen all the time, right?
No.
Like it might be years in between, but yeah. I've definitely had that experience.
And then it starts making me wonder when I don't see anything, am I just scaring myself?
Well, it's probably all are true, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not one thing. Everybody wants everything to be black and white, right? And that's the problem.
Well, I will tell y'all this straight up. I have to try to block all this out in my head when I'm in the stand. Especially like before I walk in, or even when you're coming out in the dark, right? Like when you're about ready to walk off into the woods in the dark, you're like, man.
And for whatever reason,
here we go again.
I don't know if you're like this, but for whatever reason, like when I'm at the stand or in the stand, that's like I'm on base. Like I'm safe.
100%. Right?
It's only scary when I have to leave or the travel to get there. But once you're in it, you're like, oh, I'm safe now. Even though you're just
off the ground.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that feels safe. I'm like 16 foot off the ground. I'm like, bro, come get me.
Right? What is that?
Which would be real easy for Bigfoot to grab a ladder stand and just be like, yeet, and pull you right out of
it. It's an illusion of safety. Just like we always talk about.
Like a tent.
Like tents, right? Like you got a micrometer millimeter of fabric that's separating you from the outdoors.
Yeah. Nylon.
It's not going to stop anything but rain.
Rain and wind.
That's it.
Makes you feel safe.
It makes you feel safe.
But it's funny you point out, I feel like I'm on base.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm safe now.
I think everybody, look, all you duck hunters, all you deer hunters, any of that stuff, whenever you're making your way out there and you get into your stands, right, like you get into your blinds, any of that, you feel like you're home. Like,
criminals.
I'm good now.
Criminals. I'm on base. I've watched like cops and stuff, and like they'll run from the cops, they'll get in their driveway, and they're like, I made it. And they're like, yeah, you're still under arrest. You're like, no, but I'm home. They're like, well, it doesn't stop anything. I think like that's safe.
That'd be me.
Like you're safe.
I'm on base.
Yeah.
Can't tag me, baby. I'm on base.
It's weird.
Listen to this.
Okay.
Henry posted this up, says, I don't believe in anything paranormal, but I can't think of any rational way to explain what I saw. This happened in mid-November, and I still think about it a lot. I live on the coast of Lake Michigan, where it's common for sea glass to wash up on the beach. I'm going to stop y'all right there. I want to go looking for sea glass. That stuff sounds fun as heck to go do.
My cousin in Jersey always has a huge collection of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Because she used to live right there in La Valette, which is right where the ocean.
And, so the drones got her.
But it's cool. Like, you'll see, like, you know, different colors, blues, reds, greens, and it's perfectly polished.
Dude, I want to.
And you're always like, how old, how long has this been washing around?
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, I would love to go find it. I think that would be fun as all get out. So, says, it's been a hobby of mine to collect it since I was a little kid, and my mom and I would collect on the beach near our house. I prefer to go in late fall or early spring when nobody else is there to pick up the good pieces, and the wind isn't too cold yet. There's a park near where I live now that's especially good for sea glassing. It's tucked in between private property, so not a lot of people know about it, and in mid-November, the beach is completely empty. There's a paved trail that leads from the parking lot down through the ravine into the beach house, but on this day, I felt like exploring a bit. I walked along the top of the bluff until I found a small unmarked trail, and I decided to follow that. It led down to the beach, but I couldn't find a good access point that didn't involve climbing, so I kept walking. Eventually, it led to a dead end. I turned around to walk back, and as I did, I heard something thump loudly on the ground like it fell out of a tree. Then suddenly, I heard the sound of something charging through the brush straight towards me. It sounded large, like a bear, but there aren't any bear in my area. So I instinctively made myself look big and shouted, "Hey!" in a deep voice. Whatever it was stopped about 20 foot away from me. I stood there staring at that spot for about 30 seconds before cautiously continuing back up the trail. I went back to one of the clearings and climbed down to the beach. The whole time I was walking, I couldn't shake the feeling that somebody was watching me. The beach was empty, though, so I figured I was still just shaken up from whatever happened in the woods. I also kept hearing a second set of footsteps in the gravel behind me matching my pace exactly, but since nobody else was on the beach, I figured it was just an echo. Then I got to the beach house. I needed to use the bathroom, so I went behind to see if the bathroom was open, and as I turned the corner, I saw something peeking around the far side of the building at me. It had a human-like body, but it was about 7 foot tall and had deer antlers sprouting from its head.
What?
Its skin was so pale white that it was translucent. I could see the blue of its blood vessels. It also had no discernible facial features. It had the bone structure of a face, but no eyes or mouth or anything. I immediately started sprinting up the main trail. Now, I'm very out of shape, but I ran the whole way up the bluff. I thought I was going to pass out when I got to my car, but I couldn't take a second to catch my breath before driving away. I drove to a nearby restaurant, and while I was there, I texted my friend about it. He told me I was just upset about some other things going on in my life, and I was just seeing things. It felt very real to me. But I accepted that. I was feeling very emotional that day, and maybe my brain was just playing tricks on me because of it. But months later, I still can't get it out of my mind. It felt so real. And if it was real, it had to be a cryptid. So what could it have been?
Man.
What do you think that thing was?
I like the not deer stories.
But this thing doesn't even sound like that. Like a translucent, faceless, 7 foot tall, crawler skinned Bigfoot, I guess. No hair. Doesn't really talk about its hands. And it's just got antlers coming out of its head. Maybe it was in the process of becoming a not deer.
That's a good point.
That it's changing. You know what I mean? It's going through its metamorphosis.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a crazy sight.
That would be insane. And it's one of those things like, yeah, you're not going to shake that feeling. You're not going to shake that image in your head. Like, that's it.
Right.
It's stuck in there now. That's what you got.
Yeah. Check this out. We know that Arizona seems to be a very strange place. Lots of crazy sightings, especially with skinwalkers. And for whatever reason, when you're in that area of the United States, it does feel skinwalkery, right? You're like, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
This feels a little squatchy. This feels a little skinwalkery.
Well, you're going to like this. It says, I come from a small town, Cam, in northern Arizona. I come from the water. In northern Arizona, sandwiched between the Paiute Reservation to the north and the U.S.'s largest Navajo Reservation to the south. My high school being a small 1A high school that has on average 80 students enrolled every year. So we've always had to travel south about 5 to 10 hours one way just to play another high school in any sport. This means that we traveled a lot on the Navajo Res. We also usually stayed at hotels when we would head out to play and come home in the morning, but this trip was slightly different. I remember the basketball coach saying that the school didn't have enough money to put the team in a hotel that trip, so we would be on the road for about 12 hours. I was the only male senior to play basketball that season. We had just finished playing our game and headed home on our bus, which we called Big Blue. We were headed out, and it wasn't long, about 2 hours of driving before we entered the reservation. By this time, everyone was asleep, with it being around 2 in the morning. When we crossed the reservation's border, I noticed the bus driver had sped up and was now going about 85 miles an hour. I was seated right behind him. I thought this was a little weird because he had never exceeded the speed limit before, at least not in my high school career. But for some reason, I couldn't fall asleep like the rest of my teammates. So I just sat back at the bus, staring out across the desert landscape, lit up by the full moon. As I looked out, I could see a figure running towards the bus at an angle of pursuit.
Uh-oh.
Keeping up with the bus at 85 miles an hour. As the figure got closer, I saw that it has a humanoid form. As a matter of fact, it looked exactly like a human, only that the face was painted half black and half white and had glowing eyes. The glowing eyes, like a rabbit's eyes, reflecting light from a spotlight. I immediately thought, holy crap, that's a skinwalker. Now the skinwalker, or whatever this was, ran up to the edge of the road and just kept pace with the bus, hurtling sagebrush and rocks, and it was doing this while staring at me. After I made eye contact with this thing, I could not look away. It was as if something was holding my head and eyes in place. The skinwalker just smiled at me in this inhuman smile that went ear to ear, showing crooked, yellow, and yes, pointed teeth. I felt like I was going to throw up, and I was panicking through the whole ordeal. The skinwalker started to crumple down on all fours, but it was still keeping up with the bus. I could see his bones crack and reform. The hair started appearing all over the skinwalker's body, and in about 3 or 4 seconds, it was now a coyote, and it ran off into the desert out of view. As soon as it was gone, I ran to the onboard bathroom and threw up. I didn't want to tell anyone for the fear that they would think I was crazy, so I confided in one of my Navajo friends. She told me that I needed to see the chief, who also happened to be a friend of mine, and to get a blessing. Well, I saw him the next day at school in the parking lot. He just came up to me, mumbled something in Navajo while waving a feathered scepter-like thing, turned around, got in his truck, and drove off. And to this day, I haven't ever seen another skinwalker. It might be due to the fact that I moved away from the res, and if I do have to go south, I go around, I mean way around. Eric.
Dude, that creeps me out so bad.
What is it with them trying to always keep up with cars, though? Like, they're always running next to the car.
I think they do it to feed off of the fear that they're getting from that.
I like how...
Because my bus would smell a lot like defecation.
I like how he was running, like Usain Bolt.
Nobody can see you doing this,
slowly.
Folks, he's got his hands real close together, like he's running down a track, like he's driving a little tiny steering wheel.
It's running, it's looking at you, it's smiling, and then it goes to all fours, and then morphs into a coyote, and then runs off. Not only would I not tell anybody, but you have to, like, sit back and be like...
What's in that Gatorade?
What was that?
Well, I would be like looking. If all this is going on, I would have to be like shaking the bus driver, be like, bro, do you see this too? Like, get a second opinion.
Well, here's another thing. Maybe the bus driver knew.
That's why he was going so fast.
That's why all of a sudden, he was like, when we get to the reservation border, boy, I'm putting the metal down.
I'm dropping the hammer.
We're getting through this as fast as possible.
We got to get home.
I don't know. That's crazy. We got to get to a break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Let's take one, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Kim.
Yeah.
I know you're a big fan of the way they look, but not necessarily playing with them. What I'm talking about are spirit boards. Spirit boards.
I'm not touching them, but I think they look cool.
They look cool, but I'm like you.
Victorian kind of script and gothic stuff. Yeah.
I believe in that stuff, and I believe that you can manifest the devil or a demon. And so, like, I don't participate in ghost hunting. Mm-mm. I don't participate in witchcraft. Nope. I don't participate in playing with spirit boards. I don't mess with that stuff. I have enough problems in the dimension I live in.
That's what I'm saying.
The simulation that I'm in already is not as good.
I don't need to invite more trouble.
As, like, Jeff Bezos' simulation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then I also realize that my simulation is much better than other people's.
That's right. But you don't want to invite trouble into your simulation, man. Right?
Why do I want to? I'm not trying to mess with people in other dimensions to come over here.
You got enough people in this one that hate you.
Absolutely. I stay offline because cyberbullying is horrible. I've experienced it firsthand.
You really have.
I just ignore it after a while. But
most of it comes from me.
Crying in the shower and stuff.
Yeah, most of it comes from me.
But here's an interesting story about somebody who was playing with a Ouija board.
Oh, no.
It says, being the only girl in the family at the time, I had a bedroom all to myself. I was just a teen in junior high and was interested in witchcraft. I guess I was watching too much Sabrina the Teenage Witch or something. I was spoiled with a computer and a TV in my room. Back in the day, kids having a computer in their own bedroom wasn't very common. I would go online trying to find spells that I could do. Cam does the same thing. I stumbled across...
This is true. I find a bunch of them on there that I use in my campaign.
I stumbled across this one website that had a Ouija board online. I heard stories of how the board is the devil's game. I figured since this was online that it wouldn't be the same. The website had a prayer or a chant that I remember I had to say to have God protect me whenever this would happen.
Make a lick a high, make a hidey ho.
I asked a simple question. Is anyone there? I thought, okay, now what is supposed to happen? Is the mouse supposed to move around? How do I get my answer? I just came to a point where I thought it was ridiculous, and I shut off my computer. A couple of nights later, I noticed my teddy bear missing from my bed. Now, I've always slept with this bear because it brought comfort, like someone was there with me. I bent down to go pick it up, and staring at me was a tall, red man with bright white eyes standing halfway through my door. I looked at him and froze. He just smiled at me, not moving.
I left the bear and pulled the blanket over my head and trembled. I was terrified that the thing would come over and just rip the blankets away from me. I was too scared to sleep, so I waited until the morning when I could see some sort of light in my bedroom. I was eating breakfast at the table with my two younger brothers and my dad. I told them what I saw. My dad overhears me and goes, "Oh, don't worry, that was me." I didn't say anything because I didn't want to freak him out if he couldn't explain it. But how could it have been him if I locked the door? I am the only one who has the keys to my door, and like I said, I was pretty spoiled. I changed the locks myself and had both sets of keys that came with the doorknob. I lock my door every night. I hate the feeling of someone or anyone that can just burst into my room in the middle of the night. That house terrified me. Late at night, I could hear cracks and banging noises. I'm now 33 and no longer live in that house. I truly can't explain what I saw. My eyes don't play tricks on me when I'm up, even if it's going to the washroom at 2 a.m. or even 5 a.m. I've told this story to my friends and coworkers, but they always laugh at me like I'm messing around. It's gotten to the point where I'd rather not say anything at all because they're non-believers. Whatever that red man was, it was not my father. Wow.
Eesh.
Don't play with Ouija boards even if they're online.
No. Right? Don't even mess with them. Spirit boards, Ouija boards. Do you know the Ouija board was actually invented in 1890?
I believe that.
That's when it first came out. I think that was when it was getting all the spiritualism stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of that time period. There was a lot of seances going on, and it was Aleister Crowley and all those guys. They were
big
always
into it.
I think people would get together. Like people don't really do that anymore. I even remember when I was a kid, family.
Would y'all have seances?
That's no, cool. No.
Yeah, Dad, I came to one.
Listen.
Okay.
The adults would get together and play cards, right?
Oh, yeah.
They'd eat finger sandwiches and things like that. Where back in Aleister Crowley's days, I think people would get together and do seances and
call up demons and all that stuff. It's me, your boy.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think they did anyways.
Right.
Seems creepy, right? Let's drink some absinthe, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Try to conjure something from the other side. Bro, that stuff just sounds terrifying.
It is terrifying.
I don't know. Look, and like I said, I think they look awesome. I would love to make one and even have one or whatnot, but like on display, but I don't even want it in the house.
Yeah, we did.
I'm one of those idiots, right? Like, I don't know if it's real or not, but it just scares me.
We did an interview with a woman, remember, that makes them. And she told us some pretty interesting stories. That was back a long time ago. Yeah.
Jan.
No, that's right.
Jen DeVillier.
That's it.
She was the one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Listen to this out there. We were talking about West Texas and out in the panhandle and whatnot like this. Now, it doesn't really tell me exact, but get a load of this tale. It says, my husband and I went on our first walk this morning after moving into the country in West Texas. That's not the kind of country where you find your nearest neighbors miles away, but we're surrounded by trees and empty fields. As we got about 35 foot away from the road by our house, we noticed a humanoid standing on the roadway just watching us. It looked like someone dressed in all black just staring us down from the left side of the road. Now look, I'm going to stop right there. I don't know if they just moved to the country or if y'all just moved to Texas.
True.
But you don't want to stand on someone's driveway.
No.
Around here, okay?
Not a good idea.
I can say whenever I go for a walk, I'm strapped, right? Yeah. I don't go anywhere pretty much without it, right? Like that's just, it's like my American Express card, right? Like I don't leave home without it.
It's your everyday carry.
Exactly. So I don't know I can tell you what would happen around here is you would have to call the police to come pick up a corpse if this thing was here. So as we move forward.
And if they're dead, you can make up whatever story you want to.
Yeah,
this guy said he was going to kill me.
That's right. We walked closer and realized it was walking away. No matter how fast or slow we walked, it was always the same distance from us. When we stopped moving, so would the humanoid. What seemed to change was the shape it would take. As we walked, we could see it hobbling like a drunk person. If we looked away, it would move to the opposite side of the road and be a completely different shape, like a dog or small animal. As we walked closer, the creature was farther ahead by a hill. It began to change shape, and it had stick-like legs. It would walk, but would not bend its knees. It was as if it was on stilts. We slowed our pace, and it began to walk over the hill, still changing shape. We got to the hill, looking ahead to see what shape the creature took, but it was gone.
There was no trace of it in the distance. Now, we could see a few miles ahead from this hill at this point, so there was no sign of it being there ever at all, Mary. I'm thinking of trash bag Dwendies.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's the first thing I thought of when all that stuff's like the one going down the road, the stuff that we saw, my daughter and I saw in the skies. I'm just thinking this thing can just change into whatever it wants.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of that.
Pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. Speaking of awesome, if you have any awesome stories you want to share with me and Cam and the listeners, email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com.
Yeah.
You can also call the hotline, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. Also, if you want to help Expanded Perspectives, you can follow Expanded Perspectives Elite. You can go to Patreon, download the Patreon app. Look for Expanded Perspectives Elite, and you can sign up over there. We have multiple tiers.
Also, I got some pterosaur stuff coming up on Elite this week.
Awesome.
Pterosaurs, baby.
You can give the gift of Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite/gift, G-I-F-T.
I may even make Kyle do some lake monsters on this Elite, too.
Yeah, I might see if I can find some. I could definitely find some pterosaur sightings, though. I love those things.
Right? He hates the lake monsters. He loves the pterosaurs.
I do. I don't know why.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Sure. I was thinking about this the other day before we went up to Colorado. We were thinking about this. Yeah. So, do you have a movie that you enjoy that's kind of campy? Maybe it's kind of silly. Like, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the one that I like. I'm going to let everybody know the one that I like. I'll watch it.
Before you reveal, absolutely. I don't just have one. I have multiple.
But I'm not talking about an action-packed. I'm talking about a movie that no one would think you would like.
Oh.
If they thought about Kyle Filson, they wouldn't be like, man, I would never think Kyle would like a movie like that.
I'm sure there is.
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Doc Hollywood.
Doc Hollywood.
Yep.
Is that with Michael J. Fox?
Yes, it is. Woody Harrelson. There's a bunch of folks in there, man, where he's the doctor and he's moving to L.A., but then he dodges some cows and runs through a fence.
I know I've seen it, but I just don't. I don't think it's been I think it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I knew he was in it. Right.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great question. I'm sure.
That movie.
I wonder why, though. Like, was it your age that
I don't know. I think it's just the idea, the setting of the little town of Grady, like just this whole little the whole idea of like the small town. Oh, Andy Griffith style. Right. Like where everybody knows. I don't know. I enjoy that idea. And just the way the whole thing is just funny. Like the whole thing, I don't know. I just enjoy it. That's one of those campy movies that I enjoy. That one. And then, of course, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. I was going to say, before you put the moniker of action movies, I have tons of them that I love, you know, but they're silly.
But it's like the ones that you wouldn't think. That's the idea.
Yeah, right.
Like you would never
think. That's a great question. I'm sure there's one. It's going to take me a while to process that.
He's got a. Well, then I will get back to you next week.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And you come back to me with this answer.
You're giving me some homework to
do. I'm going to give you some homework to do. Can't be an action film. Can't be a horror film.
Okay.
Because that's Luke's whole thing. That's where little Fizzy owns that whole area in y'all's family.
Oh, yeah. And we already got plans. I think he's already got three or four movies this month that we're going to go check out. One of them is The Monkey. That's the Stephen King one. And then the one we got some news coming up. We're working with Derek Hayes with Monsters Among Us. And we got some news coming up that has to do with horror. And Luke's pumped about that. I'll let you know as soon as I find out more.
It'll be awesome.
I hope everybody out there has a good week. Be safe. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.